Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Global Spirits Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us on the call today Mr. Shekhar Swarup, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Paramjit Gill, CEO, Consumer Division, Dr. Bhaskar Roy, COO, and Mr. Nilanjan Sarkar, CFO. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup, Joint Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q2 and H1 earnings call. At Global, in the last few years, we have focused on creating steady growth through a well-entrenched distillation business, as well as laying a foundation for our consumer business. In this calendar year, we have commissioned new capacity of 280 KL per day with a 140 KL expansion in West Bengal and a 140 KL greenfield project completed in Jharkhand. In the remaining part of the current fiscal, we also expect to complete expansion at Jharkhand and West Bengal by 60 KLPD each, and these capacities will be commissioned and in production in Q1 FY24. In the last couple of calls, we've spoken a lot about inflationary challenges. However, I'm pleased to say to you that, you know, the worst seems to be behind us now. In the last quarter, we have successfully procured rice from FCI for our ethanol plants, which allowed us to get an extra revenue of around 3 rupees per liter, as well as hedge prices of the raw material. Procurement from FCI in H1 was 41% of our total grain procurement, as against 1% in the same period in the last year. The Government of India has also banned exports of broken rice recently, and this will help control prices of broken rice going forward. In order to further mitigate cost push in our fuel prices, we have begun the use of rice straw as fuel in Haryana, which aids in price benefit of rupees 5 per bulk liter. As we're coming into the harvest season in North India, we are seeing softening of rice husk prices as well, which are down by around 20% from their peak of 12,000 rupees per metric ton to about 9,000 rupees per metric ton today. We expect that this softening will continue well into the quarter and will help us end the year well. PET bottle integration towards PET bottle production has also helped mitigate some packaging costs and saving of about 4-5 crore rupees per year. We expect to increase this capacity in the coming months. As anticipated by us in the past, ENA prices have continued to increase. We saw an increase of around 10% in the quarter gone by. Going forward, despite softening in costs, we are seeing that prices will continue to hold. For ethanol, we've secured a higher price realization by 1.8 rupees per bulk liter for ethanol made from FCI rice, and for damaged grain by 2.6 rupees per bulk liter. Coming to the consumer business, in Haryana, we took a call to change strategy in Q2 FY23, which resulted in a temporary slip in market share. Param will explain this in more detail later on this morning. This strategy has since started paying dividends, and we are seeing that the business is creeping back on its original market share. We are witnessing positive traction in the premium segments and are looking forward to robust growth. Our team's initiatives in the marketplace to grow the salience of our highest value brands are bearing results, and we are receiving very encouraging market feedback. I'm excited to say that we've also geared up our innovations team, which are skilled at packaging and product development. We expect to launch new brands in the next 12 months, as well as a few new markets. Animal nutrition continues to be a focus area with our product DDGS, or animal feed supplement, with 13% of our revenue in H1 coming from this segment. We continue to work on ways to increase value to our customers, and we're working closely with feed millers, interacting with them to increase awareness about the nutrition value of animal feed supplement made by us, which is used for poultry, cattle, as well as fish feed. Our robust model of a well-balanced split between consumer and manufacturing segments continue to generate healthy cash returns, which we deploy for growth, investment, and working capital. Even with our capacity expansion, our debt-to-equity ratio stands at 0.3x, and our business continues to generate strong cash flow to fuel our near-term growth plans. I now request Param to take us through the work being done by the consumer team.
Thanks, Shekhar. Good morning, everyone, and hope you all are well. In the consumer segment, the aggregate sales in Q2 FY23 came in at about 3.2 million cases. It was down 5% year-on-year and 19% quarter-on-quarter. Impacted due to the softer volumes in Rajasthan and Haryana, with the reversal being seen in the current quarter. In the quarter gone by, the average realization of the consumer segment increased from around 490 rupees per case in Q1 to 510 rupees per case in Q2 of this year, on account of better mix and lower trade spends in Haryana as a result of sharper focus on brand profitability. Going forward, with our product mix improving towards value plus and premium segments, we believe realizations will continue to remain strong. Let me start on the value and the value plus segments. In Rajasthan, the government's sudden increased focus on value segment led to a higher salience shift towards this segment, thus softening our value plus salience. However, our overall market share gain continues, with GSL currently at 34 market share points on the back of robust value as well as value plus spirits. Our whiskey brand Globus Green, which was launched earlier this year, is showing green shoots, and we are hopeful of accelerated growth on this brand. We also launched the Kevda flavor in the value segment, for which work is in progress to expand sales through our distribution network. With approaching winters, there will now be an increased focus on Black Lace Rum, which we had launched last winter. In Haryana, basis recent higher cost push, we increased our focus on improving profitability. As all the investors are aware that in our business, consumer business, there is always a lead lag, and most of the cases we wait for the next price increase to get implemented along with the next year excise policy. So it was a conscious choice by us to not wait for that long and put our focus on reducing our spreads. This resulted in a temporary reduction of market share in Q2 FY23 with an increased contribution of Rs. 26 per case. This strategy has been paying off well, and we have already begun clawing back market share. Volume recovery is also visible in the current quarter. Our persistent efforts on Metro Liquor, which is in the value plus segment, are also now leading to accelerated growth. In West Bengal, we launched County Club in the value plus segment towards April end, which has been well received. Our market share has also been inching up, and we are at about 2.4% within a short period of time, with a stock headroom for future growth. Our average realization currently stands at about 500 rupees per case. Coming to the premium segment, we are happy to report that the premium segment is showing very promising prospects. Our IMFL portfolio is building momentum across UP, West Bengal, and Delhi. Terai, our India region, has also been extended to the states of Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, Rajasthan, as well as Mumbai, and will also get introduced in Haryana shortly. As our market penetration reaches optimum levels, you can expect to see a further portfolio expansion with new launches over the next 2 to 4 quarters. Our IMFL brands are now available at almost 75% salience contributing outlets in our key markets of Uttar Pradesh, Delhi and West Bengal. Portfolio expansion work has been going on in full swing, and you will see your company expanding its offering very quickly in the next 2 quarters. As a strategic target, we are working towards reaching a 20% salience of premium liquor revenue to the total consumer revenue portfolio of Globus in the third full year, while growing all segments of the consumer business individually as well. This will improve margins as well as cash generation from the consumer business. We continue to invest prudently towards this vision. Our average realization per case stands at around 1500 rupees per case. May I now request Dr. Roy to lead the conversation? Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Mr. Gill. As Mr. Shekhar Suru mentioned earlier, we have focused on enhancing our operations in the past few quarters and seeing tangible benefits. Even with the expanded capacity of 665 KLPD, capacity utilization was at 90% in quarter two and half year FY23, with the increased capacity being utilized internally for sales as ENA or ethanol. Quarter 2 FY23 recorded highest ever bulk alcohol sales of 43.33 million liters, up 62% year to year and 6% quarter to quarter. At an average realization of rupees 59 per liter, we stood higher by 14% year to year and 2% quarter to quarter. This has led to a higher sale of the manufacturing revenue at 66% of the total net revenue in quarter 2 FY23 as against 53% in quarter 2 of FY22. We continue to work on several initiatives. To help reduce costs. We shifted to FCI rice-based ethanol, which helped in retaining a margin increase of rupees 3 per BL over damaged grain and help us mitigate the inflationary environment of the raw material side. We have procured 40% of our total raw material as FCI rice, and we shall continue to do so if it tends to be in our favor. Our rising energy prices, like we mentioned on the last call as well, we have direct coal linkages and purchase from the CCL in addition, reducing energy requirements in process. Some other initiatives include improve of AFS quality in West Bengal, increasing inventory capacity of raw material and fuel, peg bottle own production in West Bengal and Haryana. Overall, this led us to mitigate the cost increase to the extent of rupees 12 crore in half year FY23. In other updates, our agreement with Bacardi India will start from the current quarter and will add incremental revenue from here on for bottling their flagship Dark Rum, Bacardi Black and other brands in West Bengal, aiding revenue and better utilization of the Farmagar facility. All the plants are running at optimum capacity. Tamalka is also at optimum levels. With the flood prevention upgrades to the Bihar facility, the factory continued to run smoothly throughout the monsoons with no significant impact on our Bihar business in this year. I will now request Mr. Nilanjan Sarkar to continue with financial updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Roy. Good morning, everyone. During the quarter gone by, net revenue recorded a growth of 25.7% year-on-year to rupees 480 crore, but was marginally lower by 3% quarter-on-quarter due to the decrease in value spirits. The bulk alcohol, which forms a key part of the manufacturing business, recorded a revenue growth of 84% year-on-year and 8% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 253 crore in quarter 2 FY23, led by enhanced capacities and better realizations. The consumer segment revenue stood at rupees 163 crore in Q2 FY23, which was lower due to a temporary dip in CL's country liquor sales in Rajasthan area for reasons laid down by Mr. Paramjit earlier. Gross margin is at 41%, was largely maintained quarter-on-quarter on the back of higher bulk alcohol and consumer realization. the margin stood at 8%, lower primarily due to the temporary fall in revenue in consumer liquor sales in Haryana and Rajasthan in Q2 of FY23. This was further exacerbated with high cost of power and fuel, which was 22% high quarter-on-quarter in Q2 of FY23. With crop season coming, there are signs of tapering of the inflationary input cost measures. The company continues to generate healthy cash profits, and we continue to utilize our surplus cash for investing in expanding capacities as well as product and other market development. This concludes my report on the financial highlights. I would now request the operator to open the forum for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on the gross margins. In H2, I understand that gas prices for glass manufacturers are up sharply, around 60%. So how does it impact glass prices for you and the industry? And similarly, on the other raw material, how do you see H2? You have maintained 41% gross margin quarter-on-quarter stable. How do you see H2? Do you see some dip versus this?
Hi, I'm Abneesh here. So we actually hope to see a softening in raw material prices coming into H2 for reasons mentioned by me earlier. Both fuel prices have begun to soften already as the harvest season is sort of picking up in Haryana and Punjab. In East India, we see harvest come in a little bit later, usually. So, you know, by December, January, things should start moving there as well. With regard to glass bottle prices, glass has been moving up for the entire industry. The reasons were mentioned by you that impacted our premium business, especially. Be that as it may, the segments that we have launched our products in and also the budget that were prepared earlier, we are within our budgeted cost of production for our premium brands. So, you know, we don't see a huge impact on our business there. For our value business, we have worked on increasing our market bottle percentage. So that's the used glass bottles, our branded used glass bottles. We've tried to increase their share in the last quarter. Aside from that, most of our value business is PET bottles, and we are gradually moving to a larger share of in-house PET production. Currently, entire West Bengal and entire Haryana are on internal own manufacturing of PET. As of now, we have not initiated work in Rajasthan, but that's something that we are evaluating as we speak.
Right, that's helpful. But on specific glass, which is used in the premium side of your portfolio, there H2, the inflation could be there, right, versus H1 in terms of glass prices?
Yes, I think H2 you will have further inflation in glass prices. But as I mentioned, we budgeted for a lot of this increase, so we are still quite comfortable on our actual cost of production versus our budgeted.
Sure. My second and last question is on the Haryana market. You have focused more on profit side, but you also mentioned that the market share softening is temporary. So are the other players also now focusing on profitability, and that's why it's a level playing field, and that's why your market share is now coming back? Is that the reason?
That's a good question. I'm going to ask Param to take that, please.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, during these times in a competitive market, when there is a cost push, generally we see that somebody waits for the first initiative, and this time we took the initiative and we have started seeing that other players and competitors have also started reacting in a similar fashion and have started tightening their belts, and that is what is giving us this confidence, and some of it, as I said, is already visible in the last couple of months. And you are in the zone when you make that statement, because prudently not many want to wait till the next excise policy and want to start countering the inflationary measures as we go along.
Sure, thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prithi Raj from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you explain what exactly is the change in the policy, you know, that was announced by the Rajasthan government, and when was this implemented?
Param, could you please?
Yeah, so, you know, as we say, obviously the most of these governments have a much larger say in the chain of operations in the value and value plus segment. Obviously, as had been anticipated by us, I mean, and we can say proudly that we were among the first ones who saw the huge swing of consumers would happen from value to value plus segment, and you've seen the company benefiting tremendously for it. So time to time, the governments do come under pressure as they see the acceleration towards the value plus segment, which is accretive to them also for their revenue. The government revenue also is higher per case on value plus segment. But time to time, if they feel that, you know, the revenue of value plus is just shooting up and the value is sinking, they tend to sort of make efforts temporarily, though, to soften the decrease in the value segment. It is more, I would say, a knee-jerk reaction in terms of trying to protect local industries and the immediate response of the management of excise. And we've seen that it has never worked. All it has done is it has just created a blip, and then the trend continues to move on, because you can't change the flow of the river of upgrading, which the consumer has been demonstrating in our market for many years. So the excise has obviously started supporting a little bit extra on the value segment, and that is where we are seeing. But the important thing is that individually we are gaining share on both, on the value segment as well as on the RML segment, as well as collectively. It is because of the salience change that we've seen a sudden pressure against our expectations. And we are thinking the pressure will automatically start softening, and it will happen sooner than later, and we start moving again towards its natural course, where value plus is unstoppable and will continue to move towards dominating this whole category.
So just a follow-up on this, see, when you say supporting the value segment, what exactly government is doing? Could you specify? Is it something to do
we must understand that we are in regulated business. We are in a regulated business, and the government, when they try to influence the channel partners, then temporarily everybody responds to the request from the government favorably. Having said that, the consumer at the end outlet is ultimately going to ask for what he wants. So we have seen innumerable policy changes in liquor industry across states, across all the times. Not each one of them is explainable in very demonstrative terms. So time to time, you know, because of their own internal assessments, and they try to determine the path. And we've seen that never has it ever succeeded. So, and that is where they have sort of tried their best to support the value segment. As a result, what happens is the pipeline of the value segment starts increasing. The pressure on the value segment starts increasing. The whole pipeline starts getting filled much better than the value plus segment. And this starts in the short term creating an impact of skewed shares. And as the consumer will continue to make his choices, because the consumer has his choices lined up, and at the retail counter, consumer's choice is unnegotiable, neither by us nor by anybody else. And when that consumer continues to exercise his choice and the pipelines are totally skewed, then again the desired consumer franchise brands start jumping into it. And that is where it gives us the confidence.
So I can assume that it will take a few more quarters for volumes to get normalized, right, in larger sense?
Yeah. And we've seen this earlier also, that on a couple of occasions in the past also, value per segment have seen a sudden pressure, and then it started easing off and again building up momentum, because it has been demonstrating much more robust growth than the value segment over years now. And we don't think that's going to stop. Because it's not only in Rajasthan, we're just seeing it across. Now, West Bengal, we have launched value plus segment, and suddenly we are seeing an acceleration there. I mean, so this trajectory is unstoppable, and these sort of small hiccups will continue to be part and parcel of our short, medium-term journey.
Just final question from my side. This is to the CFO. Could you give the breakup of other expenses? I mean, because the number seems to be extremely high, so I just wanted to understand at least the major line items here.
So the other expenses break up mainly 52% of the other expenses is on power and fuel. So the other expenses for Q2, if it is 138 crores, almost 74 crores is on power and fuel. And the other breakup of operating other expenses include my freight expenses, my IMFL marketing above the line, top line marketing expenses, and other expenses relating to bottling of the company. So 52 to 55% of the expenses on power and fuel.
And what has been the 74 crore number a year back in the power and fuel?
74 crores, yes.
No, I mean a year back, say Q2 FY22, what was the corresponding number?
In quarter one of last year, the number was 60 crores. Quarter to quarter, number was 60 crores last year.
Fine, sir. That's all from us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Firstly, thank you for including slide number 7 in the presentation, which is consumer business performance trend. This is something new that you have included. Questions about this has continuously kept on coming.
Mr. Awasthi, we are unable to hear you clearly. Can you speak a little closer to the phone?
One second, please.
Yes.
Hello, am I audible now?
This is better, thank you.
Yes, so I was saying, firstly, thank you for including slide number 7 in the presentation, which is the consumer business performance trend. Gives a clear picture of what is happening on the IMFL side. The business, you know, is something which is not very clear till now. Beginning with the questions that I have, so that's the first question among the slide itself. Do we have brands in the IMFL segment in the regular and the others category?
No, we don't, Nitin. That's why we've consciously put in that row, which says prestige and above and regular and others. We don't have any brands in IMFL which does not fall into prestige and above category.
Okay, could you shed some light why this conscious decision has been taken, or would it change in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, Param, can I ask you to take that, please? Param, are you there?
So let me just check his line because he was on the call. He's just got disconnected. Let me reconnect.
Okay, so let me start there. So, you know, our hypothesis has been that the value plus segment will continue to gain market share from the value segment as well as from the regular segment. And we've seen that play out in Rajasthan. We are seeing it play out in West Bengal as well as in Haryana. We've looked at a lot of data for the leading regular segment brands, and you know, across the board, we are seeing reduction in volume or reduction category size of regular as the value plus segment gains momentum, as well as a premiumization that takes place from regular to premium and above. So that's one reason. The second reason is that, you know, it does cost a lot of money to build distribution. You know, for the first few years, we will be investing far more money than in terms of marketing, in terms of sales and distribution, than the business is able to realize. And it's far more rewarding to do so in the premium and above categories. The minimum volume required for, you know, economies of scale for break-even point at the regular and below categories takes a very long time to realize. And you know, consumer behavior and how the business is structured in terms of cost cards is the other main reasons for this decision. Be that as it may, it is not a decision to stay out of regular and others forever. It is a decision to start our business with premium and above, so that we can build our distribution there and then support our distribution and our business with new brand launches, possibly in you know, in some of the high price points of the regular and others category, as well as even more premium price points of the premium and above category.
Shekhar, Param is with me.
Yeah, Shekhar, I'm back in the system.
Yeah. So, Nitin, anything else on that?
So nothing else on that. That answers that question completely well. So the next question I had was your thoughts on and your position on new ethanol pricing policy that was announced, and why was it that this time there was no negotiation between the OMCs and the Grain Distillers Association to come to the conclusion of a price? Because normally we have seen that the first price that they give doesn't go through because it does is not doesn't fit, and there's a negotiation that happens and the price is decided. This time that doesn't seem to be happening.
Nitin, I don't know where you got that impression from. I mean, there is no negotiation that has ever taken place. There is an extended period of discussions that does happen in terms of submitting price information, cost information. So the All India Distillers Association, which represents the interests of grain-based distilleries, did do that. Be that as it may, the OMCs have increased prices year on year by about 1.8 rupees for FCI and 2.6 rupees for damaged. You know, I can't say I am very thrilled with that, but it is in the zone that I was expecting for the industry. So going forward, you know, our ENA business becomes even more important. We are seeing a good amount of price control that we've been able to demonstrate in the ENA business this year, and especially in Q3, Q4 of the coming financial year, of the next financial year, sorry, not the current, or rather Q2, Q3, where it's the off season or lean season for fuel and grain supply, we have to consider how much allocation we would like to make to ethanol vis-a-vis ENA. And the good news is our factories, our business model, and our planning enables this kind of flexibility. So it's just a matter of switching between one material and another, depending on where there is greater profitability.
So follow up on that question. So does your plant in Bihar allow you to switch from ethanol to ENA for a different state?
Yes, it does.
Okay, fair enough. So I understand that the focus is going to be on ENA going ahead. But that still doesn't answer the question and the problem of the Grain Distillers Association, where majority of the capacities which are coming up are ethanol-based. And I know that you hold an important chair in that committee. So that's why I ask, if your margins are shrinking and
if you can shift to ENA, that's a choice that you as a company have. But the rest of the association, the rest of the industry doesn't have that choice. So there is a lot of pain for the rest of the industry at this prices.
I agree.
So how will they go ahead with the investments to, you know, grow the segment for the ethanol business?
Listen, you know, these are good questions. And this is a situation that we anticipated in our strategy meetings at Globus, and we provided for that in the way we take approvals from Ministry of Environment, the way we take approvals for setting up of our plant, so that all our plants remain flexible between ENA and ethanol. You're absolutely right to say that, you know, for Globus that has this flexibility, it's okay, but for others that don't, it's a problem. I agree it's going to be a problem for standalone dedicated ethanol plants. We have to wait and watch what is the impact of that on the fuel ethanol program, as well as on the rush of distilleries that have been coming up in the country. I do see a little bit of a cooling down of those investments.
Understood, sir. Sir, finally, last question from my side. A peer of yours has filed the DRHP, and some interesting points of studies which have come out from that is that they dominate their business share in the IMFL segment within two states, and that itself gives them such a huge revenue or recognition. So, and while you have a pan-India strategy, now I'm not doubting your strategy, or I'm not saying your strategy is wrong or their strategy is right. I just want to understand if you could shed some light, you know, a little bit on what exactly is your strategy. Do you have a pan-India brand and you have a state focus? Or do you have a state focus and then you increase that, you take that brand to different states once you capture a certain market interest?
So listen, we don't have a pan-India strategy. We have a strategy that focuses on six markets, of which five of them have been launched. It is possible that we grow this six strategic markets to seven, but that's the sort of vision in the short to medium term right now. For us to build distribution, build a new business focusing on just one or two states is an exceedingly high risk proposition. It's important for us to have some width of distribution, a few states in play, and then, you know, you're going to have a situation. I'm aware I'm stepping on Param's toes a little bit. I think you should hear from him, but just one last point on this, which is that you're going to have a situation where a few states outperform the others. So in 5-7 years, after this business has matured a little bit, you're going to have a situation where few states are responsible for a lion's share of our market size. But Param, anything you'd like to add on this, please?
Thanks, Shekhar. So the brands that we have introduced and have started playing in these strategic markets have an all-India presence in terms of their segments. And they are very popular segments and very fast-growing segments. Having said that, like any good strategy, we chose the markets where we want to initially operate through a filter, which I think 4-5 quarters back I had alluded to, which gives us a reasonable right to win. Because each organization has its strengths, and we have chosen these markets in a way that we have a right to win, we have the strengths to win, we can achieve a break-even in time and line with our business plan, and from there we will expand. At this point of time, we have not created a 10 to 15 year vision yet, except for a very broad paper. So our immediate strategic objective is to ultimately reach a certain stage, which we have called out 20% of the contribution of the consumer business to premium. And this will be achieved out of these 6-7 states itself is our confidence. And we are driving relentlessly towards achieving this objective. Does that sort of answer your point?
Yes, sir, that does it. Thank you so much. That was all the questions from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm sorry I'm joined the call late. Just wanted to check, I think Mr. Sarkar alluded to power and fuel being 74 crores in Q2 and about 60 crores in Q1 of FY23. Did I hear it correctly?
Yes, on a quarter-on-quarter, 74 crores for this current quarter, and for the same period last quarter, it was last year, it was 60 crores.
Same period last year, it was 60 crores. So out of 86 crores of manufacturing expenses, 60 crores was power and fuel.
No, the last quarter, it was April, last quarter one of last year, sorry, quarter two of last year was 36 crores, and quarter two of current year is 74 crores. Quarter one of last year was 60 crores.
Quarter one of this year was 60 crores. Excuse me, hello?
Yeah, quarter one of this year is 60 crores. Quarter two of last year was 37 crores. And quarter two of this year is 74 crores.
And quarter one of last year was?
60 crores. Sorry, the quarter one of last year, no, we don't have the number now.
Okay.
Yeah, but it would be similar to the 36 number.
30 crores. 30
so
crores.
Almost a 100 crore push on power and fuel. Would that be the right way to look at it for H1 FY23 over 22, right? Okay. Okay. And the second, actually, the observation was, I think, with the new distilleries coming in and the manner in which the volumes have picked up, it seems like the offtake has been almost quite seamless. And with the, so I guess that strategy of working in, you know, deficient states, it's coming out to good use. The only challenge that I felt was on the power and fuel. So, I mean, how do you see it? I mean, do you see it more being transient, or is there something that you're doing to probably hedge yourself against it going forward?
Yeah, I mean, so there is a, I don't see power and fuel come down to the levels that they were, what they were last year, frankly. But the current levels of power and fuel are completely unsustainable as well. As I mentioned, in North India, we are seeing, you know, over 20% correction in power and fuel prices because of the harvest season that we are, you know, pretty much just about kick-started. So this will continue to reduce prices in the north. Will continue to reduce for the rest of this quarter and into the next, and possibly stabilize somewhere in the next quarter. In the east, in quarter four, we will see a reduction in prices, and they'll stabilize in Q1. I think the most important thing to watch out for in power and fuel is how much coal is being released by Coal India for industrial applications. In the last couple of months, we've seen an increase in the frequency of auctions being conducted. We've seen some efficiency come into how quickly orders are being fulfilled by Coal India and its subsidiaries. So you know, if that's to continue, we will end up seeing the later part of the next financial year remain soft or softer than this year as far as fuel is concerned. But for the next couple of quarters, I have a pretty good visibility that prices will be soft. We have to be a little watchful for the quarters after that in terms of how much coal is being released by Coal India into the industry. Even though we needn't consume that coal directly, but it does impact the price of fuel, whether it's coal or rice husk, for all industry.
So is the rice husk price, is it in some way benchmarked to the extent coal prices?
I mean, there is no formal benchmarking, but what ends up happening is that wherever fuel is cheap, industries switch. I'm not talking about power plants. I'm talking about captive power users. Most of them have the ability to switch between rice husk and coal. So we see power plants or other industries are shifting between these two. And as a result, a sort of an equilibrium gets maintained.
Got it. That's helpful. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kshitij Saraf from Tusk Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, how are you? There was a long-term guidance that was given in terms of the margins being 18% to 20%. You know, with all the improvements that we talked about, which was the lowering of raw material prices on the energy side as well as rice husk and the value addition in the consumer business, do we feel that over the next, what is your guidance in terms of operating margins over the next two quarters and then FY24, given the current situation?
So I do see margins being north of 15% for sure in the coming quarters. With what I've just said about fuel prices going into the later part of next financial year, I don't see them coming down to the same levels as they were last year, right? So, I wouldn't go up to 20% anymore. I would stay at around the 18% level. That would be my expectation. So anywhere between 16 to 18%, I think, is achievable. We will be increasing margins, as I mentioned, into Q3 and into Q4, and then hopefully maintaining that for the rest of the year. Of course, a huge caveat to this is how much coal is released by Coal India into industries. We've seen an increase in that, and we hope that that will continue.
That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, could you please explain what has kind of changed as far as Rajasthan government policy is concerned? Have they kind of decreased the prices for value plus segment? And what basically has changed in terms of their strategy? I'm still not able to understand.
So this was explained in quite detail by Param earlier. If required, we can set up a separate call for this. There has been an increased focus on value spirits because of the sharp increase in value plus that happened in the previous year. The trade as well as some other stakeholders along with excise have created a focus on value spirits. Happy to set up a call if you'd like to discuss this in more detail in interest of some of the other questions that might be waiting.
No. Is there a clarification in terms of influencing the distributors by the various departments in focusing more on value segment? So are they kind of incentivizing distributors to sell more value segment compared to value plus by whatever means possible?
Yeah, it's a little more complex because, as you're aware, the distributor in Rajasthan is the government or is a government-owned entity. So it's a little more complex than that, but yes, that is a part of the whole equation. Let's set up a call and discuss this in more detail if that's all right.
No worries. Yeah, thanks.
Could we go to the next question,
sure,
please?
The next question is from the line of Rishabh Doshi from Nimiti Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is to Param. Like, I know in the earlier call, in the earlier participant question, you asked.
Your line is not clear. Could you maybe get off speakerphone or change your setting?
Is it clear now?
Yes, better. Please carry on.
Yeah. My question is to Param. Like, I know in the earlier participant question you shared the rationale, but you know, with respect to the policy change in Rajasthan, like, could you just share like what does the fine print say? Like, how are they implementing the policy? Like, is it through you know, are they restricting volumes in the value plus category, or have they increased the excise? And my second question is, like, earlier you used to share the DDGS sales or volumes data. So if you could just share, like, you know, what is going on in the animal feed segment.
I mentioned in my opening remarks that the animal nutrition business or the animal feed business is about 13% of revenue. You know, it doesn't really help to look at this as a share of or in terms of volume, because you know, we need to sell everything we produce. The product does not have too much of a shelf life. There is a high sort of it's a fast moving product because it's going into the animal feed business. So, you know, there are small plants of the large feed companies spread all over the country, which supply to a local supply egg or meat to the local market. So it's a relatively fast moving product. So therefore, it doesn't really make sense to share volume data. We are looking at working on ways to increase the value of this product to our customers, and hopefully increasing realizations in this product, which will go straight to bottom line. All of the way our costing works, all of the animal nutrition business goes straight to bottom line. As far as Rajasthan is concerned, there has been no price change for value and value plus in terms of excise duties. There is an incentivization or a focus that is created with for selling value spirits over value plus spirits. You know, at this stage, that's all I can get into. Happy to set up another call to discuss this in further detail.
Yeah. Also, if there is any documentation of the policy, if you could share that, that would be helpful.
My last policies question, are available on the Rajasthan Excise website, so, you know, that's public domain.
Yeah. So, and, you know, in the near, like, next one or two quarters, like, what do you expect would happen with the, you know, consumer volumes? Like, would they still be subdued, or are you expecting some quarter-on-quarter growth at least?
Yeah. So, Param, could you take that last bit on, please?
Yeah. So you know, as we have mentioned that in Haryana, we are seeing recovery. So, we see our volumes inching up as we keep going forward. Similarly, in Rajasthan, as Shekhar has already alluded to, that it's a government body who is also the exclusive distributor, like in many other states in the country, where the government has the excise under one head and has the distribution under another head. So we think even Rajasthan is going to be a temporary blip. You know, now very month specific, 1 or 2 months here and there, it is very difficult to pinpoint. But yes, these things do temporarily clog the pipeline with the less desired segments, and it takes time for it to gain its level. But I am still very, very confident that in the next couple of quarters, we will see it all inching up significantly.
Yeah. So, like, one particular reason why I ask, because, you know, Q3, Q4 are seasonally strong for the consumer. So, yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Sharma from White Sky Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This being office time for us, like working people who are investors, may we request a copy of the voice call instead of only the text call which comes? That's one thing. And second is, any plans for, because your bill for fuels is extremely high. So any plans to have that natural gas as a fuel?
Natural gas is a far more costly fuel as compared to coal and rice husk. For in addition, the capex required to become biogas enabled is very high. There is only one factory for us where it could make sense in the future, which is our factory in Haryana because of biogas connectivity in the region. But suffice it to say, we are already at the cheapest possible fuel cost. And any reduction in fuel cost from here will need to be on account of reduction in cost of fuel as well as reduction in consumption of fuel. And the company is focused on both. With regard to your request for an audio link, I believe we do publish this on our website. Nilanjan, if you can confirm that one way or another, please.
Yeah. Yes, we do publish it. We can see it after this conference.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Imran Khan from Longbow India. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Wanted to confirm, you said 15% margins from next quarter onward, right?
Yeah, that's what we've got sight of as of now in terms of, or rather that's what my expectation is based on the softening of raw material prices. There's fuel prices likely that have started happening.
So you were expecting this 10%, 5% benefit or 500 basis point benefit largely from raw material, or is it from
it's the pickup in the consumer business. We, as mentioned, we saw a temporary softening in the last quarter. The consumer business is picking up again, especially in Haryana where there was this problem. The softening of raw material, we see realizations remain strong. So you know, we're working towards that, and that is my expectation.
Right. Just one more thing on ethanol, prices. So this new, price or the price increase of about 2 points some paisa is at a base of March 2022, or this is on a current base?
Now, can you repeat that question?
So I was asking, this 2.5 rupee increase on ethanol prices.
It's over last year. So ethanol prices are fixed year on year, and this is over the last price, the price that was declared on 1st December 2021.
Because you have also, shared some release, I think, early this year where you have got an interim price increase. So that's not the base, right?
That's not the base number.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Jain from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to know what kind of growth are we seeing given we are looking at some recovery and softening of, cost pressures, RM pressures as well. So what kind of growth can we see going ahead for the next few quarters and for the long term as well?
I think that was addressed in an earlier question. Gradually we hope to come back to 16 to 18% kind of margin levels. As mentioned in earlier calls, the nature of the industry that we're in, price increases take time, whereas cost increases are immediate. We've seen ENA prices react the quickest, as was expected, and we've been able to grow ENA prices considerably every quarter. We remain hopeful that despite softening of raw material prices, we should be able to hold on to our ENA prices, considering that we operate in deficit states. And in mostly in deficit states, and in the areas that we have operations in surplus states such as Haryana and Jharkhand to some extent. Now we hope to be marginally more profitable than other players due to our proximity to oil marketing company depots where we will be supplying ethanol. In case of our consumer business, we are hopeful of price increases in West Bengal and in Rajasthan, but that obviously is an again an annual policy decision. West Bengal will possibly come in the next 30 to 60 days, whereas Rajasthan will come in the next financial year. And ethanol, we've seen around a 5% increase in prices starting 1st of December, which too will help our realization. So, you know, as mentioned earlier, gradually we are seeing increases in realization. We've also begun to see softening in costs, and for those reasons, I feel margins should now start moving up and go back to the levels that we all want.
Thank you so much. So that's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prithvi Raj from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one follow-up question on the income tax rate. Earlier, you were mentioning that, you know, you will come to the new tax regime. So when can we expect that?
Yeah, so, you know, we were expecting the new tax regime to come in from this financial year onwards. However, with the reduction in profit before tax that we've seen this year, it makes more sense to utilize our balanced MAT credit as well as take advantage of accelerated depreciation, which is available for this year for us. And this will be complete in this financial year. So next year onward, we will have no MAT credit and we will have no benefit of accelerated depreciation to take. So for the next financial year onwards, we will certainly be in the new tax regime. Therefore, taking our effective tax rate, which is around about 34% currently, to about 17%, 25% next year onwards. But today, our cash payout after utilizing MAT credit is about 17%.
What did I start from this?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, just to follow up, now that the Jharkhand distillery has been commissioned, how's the offtake visibility for you for this quarter and going forward? That's number one. Number two, I'm not sure if this has been addressed, but some trend on, how are the broken rice prices faring from what they were, say, at the start of the year? And the third is, what has been the CAPEX outflow for H1 FY23?
Okay, Jharkhand capacity is running at full production. We don't anticipate any other way of running this capacity. We have been able to utilize this capacity 100% with ENA, which is currently more profitable than ethanol. We will evaluate whether to run on ENA or ethanol in a quarter by quarter fashion. With regard to price of damaged grain, I don't unfortunately have the figure for earlier this year, but I do know the figure for the peak prices of damaged grain, which was possibly around July, August, maybe coming into September as well. We are down about 10 to 12% on damaged grain prices since then and now. Of course, this is comparison from peak low. This is not an average to average comparison. And if that is something that you're looking for, we can provide that to you after the call.
Okay. and CapEx for H1?
Right. Nilanjan, could you answer that, please?
Yeah. The CapEx for outflow for H1 has been 82 crores, out of which primarily major one is for Jharkhand, which is for 50 crores. We've capitalized Jharkhand in the month of September. There's still some work in Jharkhand left, but the outflow for this H1 has been 82 crores.
And interest cost must have been, interest cash flow must have been about 5-6 crores.
Yeah. No, interest has been, 2.51 crore for the current quarter, and for H1 it is 4.7, yes, 5 crores, almost 5 crores.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin from Invest Savvy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to check on two things. Given that you are moving to a tax regime in the next year on the back of advantages which you will derive of offset this year, as against the 30-33% that I see as tax payout for Q1 and Q2, what percentage of tax payout would you be seeing in Q3 and Q4?
Q3, Q4 effective tax rate will remain at this level. Be that as it may, as I mentioned earlier, our cash payout on tax is only 17%. So the difference between 33 and 17 is the MAT credit that we utilize.
Okay. So from a P&L perspective, you would still end up paying about 33% tax or 30% tax, whatever.
Correct. And from next year, this will be 25%. And our cash payout will also be 25%. There will be no MAT credit left, and therefore we will move to the new tax regime.
Okay. The other question is that in terms of, I think partly I kind of could make out, the question was asked earlier also, that the new capacity that has come up, will it be, what percentage of it will be rolled out in terms of, actually converting into revenue in Q3 and Q4?
100%, sir. The Jharkhand capacity is operating at 100%, and we expect it to remain at that level. Of course, when I say 100%, this is based on 100% available capacity. So from installed capacity to available capacity, it's about a 5% difference. So around 95% capacity utilization, which is effectively 100%, if you know what I mean.
Okay, and this is, so Jharkhand actually, as per the presentation, seems to have kicked in only around 30th of September, right?
Yes. Right.
So this quarter we see the full impact of that. Okay, great. And the additional capacities of 60 KLPD extra on two plants, which are to come up in Q4, I think. So
yeah, so Q1, you're going to start seeing that impact revenues in Q1.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of S. Lewis, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I keenly watch all the developments in Global Spirits. Having said that, I was expecting that the Jharkhand facility would have got on stream in August as per the last call announcements. But only these days I realized that it is pushed out to end of September. That means it's completely out of the quarter. So I would have expected you to intimate the exchanges when such developments happen in the company, that has got a major or significant contribution to the numbers of the company. So that's one observation or my concern here. That's it.
All right, thank you for that. Thank you for that feedback.
Lewis, you done with your questions?
Yeah, next
Thanks.
Question.
Please take care of that. In the case of West Bengal, you did that. You had announced in the exchanges, which did not happen. Okay. Now, coming to the GST, there was some dispute amounting around 34 crore. Now, when this is addressed, or the redress will happen, will it, if you win that in your favor, will it add to your bottom line, or how is it going to work out?
So, you know, this matter first needs to be adjudicated by the GST department. We do not expect a favorable adjudication based on how based on tracking how GST has been adjudicating other matters of late. So it will then go into appeal, which I believe will go to a tribunal, if I'm not mistaken, thereafter High Court and possibly Supreme Court as well, depends on where we get redressal and where GST department would like to stop challenging. Eventually, if this is goes to Supreme Court and it is in our favor, then this asset will come back into our P&L. You're right. It will probably come in as an exceptional item, but that's something we'll have to take an opinion from our auditors and accountants. We don't have that clarity as yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's it for me.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhruv Kashyap, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Shekhar. And given that you spent so long in the liquor industry, I just wanted to get a perspective or some color from you on geographical white spaces, not just restricted to the states in India, but overseas as well. What's happening very interestingly in the last few months and years is that a lot of the entry-level liquor segment is being vacated, right? So when USL got acquired by Diageo, and you know how it is, the MNCs focus more on the premium and the more expensive brands. And so there is a significant vacancy that's also getting created in terms of the entry-level spirits section, not just in India, but abroad as well. You know, my observations in East Africa was that they're all waiting for their cases of bagpiper and all, which are not really coming. So what's your view on the 6-7 priority states in India, as well as do you have any concerted strategy for the Indian drinkers of the cheaper brands in the sort of, let's call it the less, let's call it the more developing and emerging markets of the world?
Thanks for that, Dhruv. You know, the correct person to take you through this is Param, given his exposure in the Indian markets and overseas in the alcohol business. So, Param, can I request you to take that?
Thanks, Shekhar. Sir, while what you said exactly is as the events are unfolding, we are still of the firm belief that the attractiveness of prestige and above is far more lucrative than spreading ourselves thin further into that. With respect to exports, yes, we have exports in our line of sight, but as we talk currently, these possibilities are in our line of sight with respect to the segments of prestige and above that we are already operating. We are not ruling out a possible entry into regular, but in the short medium term, what all plans we have, they do not as of now include regular segment.
So just to add to that, Dhruv, you know, what we've seen in the regular category is that these spaces become a very, very price sensitive. So for 10 rupees a case cheaper, we find the retailer or the distributor shift loyalties. As a result, you know, what we're trying to build is a business that can be in control of its own growth,
that is not dependent on you know, other buyers for growth in terms of volume as well as profit. Corporate buyers, I mean, not dependent on corporate buyers. And in terms of the regular segment, that's exactly the problem that there is. And frankly, we've got enough of a play in that space when it comes to our ENA business or ethanol business. And with regard to the white spaces that are being created, especially in the Indian regular and others category, we do in fact have a play over there through our value plus segments, which is far more profitable than the regular segment. So we're trying to address this in two different ways, trying to build a premium offering at the lower end of the price point and attracting consumers to save some money and be able to get a product that they expect, as well as then offering products at the premium price points which allow the consumers to upgrade or to premiumize.
Extremely useful, Param and Shekhar. Just a quick follow-up on this. If you could also give some color on the sort of states of India where you are gradually ramping up, which are the white spaces which you're still entering, etc. And what's your play going to look like? I heard seven states. If you could just sort of elaborate a bit more in terms of naming them and where we are in each one of them, etc. Very quickly, you don't need to go into very much detail.
Param, can you take that?
So we have already made a play from this April onwards in West Bengal, Uttar Pradesh and Delhi. As we talk to you, we have entered in the states of Haryana as well as Telangana. And we have a couple of states in line of sight, which obviously for obvious reasons we are withholding the names because it does affect our capability of launching and expanding if the opposition gears itself up before adequate time. So the five names are already in front of you, and whatever little is left of it, we will disclose as we go further on the journey.
Most useful, sir. Thanks once again. And my second and even briefer question is that, Shekhar, correct me if I'm wrong, we were somewhere in the 20-odd crore liter mark, and our destination end game in 25 is to go to 49 crore liters.
Per annum, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying when I convert the KLPD per day into an annual sort of a number, it comes to somewhere between 48 and 50 crore liters when all your brownfield, greenfield, everything is over.
Yeah, so just give me one. Just give me one moment.
45
almost. So we are currently at about 760 KL, which translates into about 25 crore liters. We've got two more projects that are left, three more projects that are left in our pipeline. There's one 20 KL expansion in the east, which will add about 4 crore liters. And then there is Orissa and UP, which we have not finalized the capacities of, but that has the potential of adding another 10 crore liters. So this number will go to about 27 and 10, 37 crore liters. That's the rough picture. Of course, like I said, Orissa and UP, we have not finalized capacity, so the number I gave you is, pro forma or tentative.
Yeah, so assuming that all of this does come through in some shape and form at some time in the future, this would be somewhere between sort of 40 and 45 crore liters.
40-ish.
From roughly about 20 odd that you were at the beginning of this calendar year, right? So that's almost doubling over 2-3 years.
Yeah, I think it'd be less than, less than 20, I think 17, 18 is probably where we started this calendar year.
So almost 2.5 times is destination stake. My last question, sir, and a very quick one, is that the way we are seeing, see, the way our business is structured is that the price is not controlled in our hands because we get price increases from the powers that be at the frequency that we get them. The raw materials are going through the roof, both in terms of input costs, fuel, power, or the actual product that you use to sort of convert into finished product. Now, my thing is that we were at about a 23, 24, or maybe a 21% EBIT at the peak. We were at roughly about 11 to 14% last quarter, and we're at about 8 this quarter. Now, I understand you saying that the destination will look like more 18-ish and not 21-ish eventually when everything's going for us. But how are you seeing the ramp up from 8 to 18 in the next few quarters? I mean, could you give some color or breakdown on that?
8 is not entirely due to raw material and fuel prices. 8 is due to a 4% reduction caused by the problems in Haryana, which were explained earlier on the call. So if we adjust for that, it's about 11-12. We need to increase our margins from 11-12 to say 17-18. And we are seeing, as mentioned earlier, softening in prices of raw material. We expect to remain firm on our ENA prices through the rest of this quarter and the next. In stages between now and then, of course, there is the price increases in Rajasthan and West Bengal that I expected in early next year and over the next 30 to 60 days, respectively, for Rajasthan and West Bengal. So with these initiatives, we hope to get to that point at some point in the next financial year.
Thank you so much. And in conclusion, as the good old people say that, you know, good companies and good teams can't be kept down for too long. So the going might be tough, but I guess the way you guys are running it, it's great times are not very far away. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Shekhar Saru for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join this call. If we have left out any questions or any further clarifications are required, please contact us or our IR team at Stellar, and look forward to speaking to you all soon. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Globus Spirits Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.